Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Brachas Daf Chavav. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. According to Rav Huna, when the Mishnah stated that one must be 4 amos away from excrement, from tsoa, in order to recite Kriyashma, he was referring to when it is behind him. If it is in front of him, then it's prohibited to recite Kriyashma as long as it's in his field of vision. So one can't daven if tsoa is in front of him, as far as the eye can see. Secondly, after introducing the time periods of the 4 main tefillahs in the opening Mishnah of Tefillas HaShachar, the Gemara teaches that one may make up for missed tefillahs, the concept of tashlumim. So for example, if one missed mincha, he may daven Mariv twice, even though it's not the same day. And if one missed mincha Erev Shabbos, he may daven Shabbos Mariv twice, even though it's not the same Shemone Esrei of that mincha. And if one missed Shabbos on mincha, he may daven the weekday Mariv twice, and then he'll insert Abdallah in the first Mariv. So we have the idea that Tsoa is 4 amos away from behind, but in front, it can't be in his field of vision. And secondly, we have the concept of tashlumim, making up for missed tefillahs. Point number 3, the Gemara introduces a machlokas whether the origins of davening 3 times a day stems from the avos, as it says, avos tiknim, or the anshei knesset gadol, the men of the great assembly, whether they instituted them correspond to the daily tamid offerings, as it says in the Gemara, keneged tamidin tiknim. So once again, the 3 points are that tsoa of Dalet Amos being away is when it's behind. In front, it can't be in the field of vision. We have the idea, second point, of tashlumim, of making up for missed tefillahs. And finally, point number 3, the Malchokas, what are the origins of davening 3 times a day? Does it stem from the Avos, or does it stem from the Anshei Knesset Gedola? And they instituted the tefillahs correspond to the daily Tamid offerings. So now we go to the Siman. So the Siman for Chavav is going to be a coup, a military coup, soldiers capturing something. So here we go. The soldiers with binoculars who captured the shul didn't notice the man in the corner davening a second Mariv because they were entranced with a sukkah poster depicting the Avos davening. Once again, in slow motion. The soldiers with binoculars who captured the shul. So the soldiers capturing, that's to remind us, oh, a military coup. We must be on Daf Chavav. So the soldiers with binoculars. Now the binoculars remind us with halacha that if tzoa is in front of someone, it can't be in his field of vision. So the binoculars remind us of that halacha, that tsoa can't be in one's field of vision in front. So soldiers with binoculars who captured the shul didn't notice the man in the corner davening a second Mariv, so that's a reminder of the sugya of Tashlumi, of making up for missed tefillos, because they're entranced with a sukkah poster depicting the Avos davening. And that poster is to remind us of the Malchokas, whether the tefillos were enacted because of the Avos davening or because of the Tamidim, the daily offerings. And I put in sukkah poster because we could have sort of imagined sukkah poster with the Avos davening. All right, so once again, one more time. The soldiers' binoculars who captured the shul didn't notice the man in the corner davening a second Mariv because they're entranced with a sukkah poster depicting the Avos davening. All right, so now it's time for our 4 blot bank chazor beginning in Daf Chav Beis. So the symbol for Chav Beis is a cab, a taxi cab. So the cab driver laughed as his cab, Chav Beis, was surrounded by fire. So why is he laughing? That reminds us of the Brisa teaching us that the reason why Balkari is the only type of tumah that requires immersion in a mikveh before he's able to win Torah, because that tumah came about as a result of kalas rosh, of levity. And this is inconsistent with how the Torah was received at Har Sinai, which was with Ema and Yira, with fear and trepidation. And it's surrounded by fire. Now it's a reminder for Yudah ben Becerra, he doesn't require Balkari to immerse before winning Torah, because he holds that words of Torah like fire, like Eish, which don't contract tumah, they're not makabel tumah. So he douses, this taxi cab driver, he douses the fire with 40 saw of water pouring from a 9-cubbing pail. That's the machlokas, whether Balkari requires immersion in a mikvah 40 saw, or whether having the 9-cubbing poured over him suffices. So then we go to Daf Chav Gimel. So the simon Chav Gimel is a keg. So our simon is a man running to the bathroom before davening Shemone Esrei. So that reminds us that one who feels the need to relieve himself and cannot restrain himself for 72 minutes, which is the time it takes to walk a parser, should not begin Shemone Esrei. To do otherwise would be making his tefillah a toeva, an abomination. So we have a man running to the bathroom before davening Shemone Esrei. He puts his tefillin in his new tefillin bag. So that reminds us that it's forbidden to store anything other than tefillin in a bag that's set aside for tefillin. And it's machlokas whether the bag becomes forbidden as soon as it is set aside, which would mean hazman and milsehi, or only after it's been used, which is hazman olav milsehi. And he's put it on a keg that was 4 amos away from the outhouse. That reminds us that one must remove his tefillin at least 4 amos away from an established bathroom before entering. But if the place had never been used as a bathroom, he can take his tefillin off there and relieve himself, but he must move at least 4 amos away before putting them back on. Then we get to Chav Dalet. The simon for Chav Dalet is a pitcher, a kud. So you have a married couple lay in bed with an empty pitcher. So that reminds of Chav Dalet. Daf Chav Dalet. And used as a shetel stand. That's the sugi of erva, what is considered erva of a woman. Placed between them. And the husband yawns while the wife says Shema. So we have the husband yawning, reminding us of all the inappropriate things to do during tefillah, like davening out loud, belching, yawning, sneezing, and spitting. While the wife says Shema, that reminds us of the opening sugya of a husband and wife reciting Kriya Shema in bed. They're allowed to as long as they're turned away from each other and face in opposite directions. And then we get to Daf Chaf Hey. The simon for Chaf Hey is a silver anniversary, 25 years of marriage. So here's the simon. The surprise silver anniversary party, reminding us of Daf Chaf Hey. So the surprise silver anniversary party the husband threw for his wife was a disaster. When the party room he entered was less than 4 amos away from a barn that was full of foul-smelling substances. That reminds us that there's a malchokas regarding how far one must be from a foul odor that emanates from a substance, a reich rashi yeshul ikar, to recite kriyishma. Rav Huna holds the person must be 4 amos away from the actual substance. Rav Chisda holds the person must be 4 amos away from the spot where the odor stops. So from away from a barn that was full of foul-smelling substances, people sleeping on mats. So we learn that while it's forbidden to say kriyishma if there's an odor without a substance, a reich rashi ein lo ikar, Rav Shesh has ruled that it is permitted to learn if the smell is coming from another person, and he learned it from the fact that people learned in a place where people dozed on mats, where typically they might emit a foul odor. And finally, in that barn was chamber pots, so we learned it's forbidden to recite kriyishma opposite a clay chamber pot, a grav shalreya, used for excrement or urine, even if there's nothing in it. Why? Since it's especially absorbent and makes the vessel repulsive. All right, so now it's time for our pop quiz. 10 questions. Question number one. Which daf do we have the question of whether the ball carrier has to be tovel and 40 saw, or it can have 9 cup and poured on him? That's on daf Chabez. Good. Question number two. Where do we have the sugya of inappropriate behavior during tefillos? That's daf Chav Dalet. Number three. Where do we have the issue where there are 4 amos, Dalet amos, from a reich rashi yeshul ikar, from a substance that's emitting a foul odor? The Dalet amos is from the place of the substance or from the place where the odor stops? That's on daf Chaf Hey. Good. Where do we have the sugya number four of whether Shema is the Raiser or the Rabbanan? That's on daf Chaf Alf. Good. Number five. Where do we have the sugya of Erva? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Number six. Where do you learn that you shouldn't use a tefillin bag for other things? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Number seven. Where do we learn that one should not say Kriya Shema in front of an empty chamber pot? That's on daf Chav Hey. Good. Number eight. Where do we have the concept of tashlumim, of making up for missed tefillos? That's on daf Chav Vav. Great. Number nine. Where do we have the question whether two people can be in the same bed reciting Shema? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Great. And the final question, number 10. Where do we have the malchokas whether the tefillos avos tiknum or the anshei kenes zoa were metakan them keneged the tamidim? That's on daf Chav Vav. Great. So that concludes our session of Maseches Brachos daf Chav Vav. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, wishing you a great day and great learning.